Self-Confrontation, Class 5, Lesson 3, Part 2, Side 1. This class is being taught by Romel Pomerejo, replacing Chuck Andrews for just this class.
Who the Holy Spirit is. And we don't embrace what the Holy Spirit does. And I think it's important for us as Christians to understand God, the Holy Spirit, and who He is and what He does. Because without Him, according to the Scriptures, we can't do nothing neither. And so we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, who is equal to God. And so we're going to be discussing that. The Holy Spirit, I believe we have to understand, is fully divine, just as the Father is, and just as the Son of, or Jesus Christ is. And that we have to embrace Him and view the Holy Spirit in that way, that He is God. And that He has a responsibility, and that we can go to Him too. And I prayed that the Holy Spirit will show me and guide me, and that I teach accurately. Because that's my desire. I want to be able to teach accurately. And so I need the assistance of the Holy Spirit. And in our day-to-day walk, we need the Holy Spirit. So we have to understand right off the bat that the Holy Spirit is God. That the Holy Spirit is God, and who is part of the Trinity. And He's identified as equal to the Father and to the Son. And sometimes we become confused. Is He really equal to the Father and to the Son? And I think we have to embrace that He is. That He is equal to the Father and to the Son. And that He was involved in creation right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. And sometimes we're not aware of that, or if we are, it's not real in our hearts who the Holy Spirit is and what He's done. And the Holy Spirit has godly characteristics, just as the Son does, and just as the Father does. And if we can embrace that, I think we will have, I don't want to say a better relationship, but we will have a better understanding in the work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. We have to be able to grasp who the Holy Spirit is, just as many of us have grasped and who the Son, Jesus Christ, is. We know who Jesus is. We know what He has done. But we have the Holy Spirit over here who is very, very gentle. And sometimes we grieve Him in our daily lives, in the way we respond to things of this world. And so I'm hoping that we can have a better picture of who the Holy Spirit is, and that He has the same characteristics as the Father does and the Son does. The Holy Spirit has divine characteristics. He's eternal. He's eternal, just as the Father is, and just as the Son is. And sometimes we don't think in those ways, that the Holy Spirit is God and that He's eternal. We think of the Father as eternal. We think as Jesus Christ as eternal. But how many times have we sat down, read the Scriptures, and just think, wait, the Holy Spirit is eternal? I don't think we've gone that direction. And I believe that we cut ourselves very, very short when we don't invite the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. The Holy Spirit is here and dwelled in us for a purpose. for a purpose. And I believe that purpose is to glorify the Lord and to please God in everything that we do, no matter if we eat or drink, but that we glorify God in everything that we do. The Holy Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth as taught in John 14, 16 through 17. The Holy Spirit is truth as just as the Father is, and just as the Son Jesus Christ is. He's truth. John 17, 17 talks about sanctify them with the truth. And guess what? When Jesus left, who came back? Who was sent? It was the Holy Spirit. And He has a purpose to bring conviction into our hearts, to bring characteristics of God into our lives. And so the Holy Spirit is God, and that we can embrace Him as God, and that we can love Him as God, and not grieve Him in our walk. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is truth, that He brings conviction and brings sanctification in our lives. But you know, I don't know about you, but He does it gently. And yes, we do feel bad because we're culpable. We're guilty of breaking one of God's laws. But praise the Lord, because now I'm aware of that, and I can make changes in my life. It changes in a way that I can look like Jesus Christ. And guess what? It is the Holy Spirit that's going to help me with that. It is the Holy Spirit that's going to help me to look more like Jesus Christ, to be formed in the image of His Son. And it is the Holy Spirit, who is true, who's going to help us to get there. And also, He's present everywhere. The Holy Spirit is present everywhere. In Psalms 139, I love Psalms 139. I don't know if you've ever read that particular chapter. It's beautiful. And I encourage you to read it. Psalms 139 just touches my heart. And I look at it and I meditate on it. It just does things in my heart. And I read it when you have time and meditate on it. But the Holy Spirit is present everywhere. Is the Father present everywhere? Yes, He is. Is the Son, Jesus Christ, present everywhere? Yes, He is. He's present everywhere, that we can call upon Him also. And that seems unusual because it's not taught. But the Holy Spirit is there, present, to bring comfort, to bring joy, to strengthen you, also to bring conviction. But the Holy Spirit has the divine characteristics as the Father does and the Son does. And that in that He's present everywhere. Not only is He present everywhere, but He's eternal. He's also truth. And He's also present everywhere. And He's God. And I'm not sure how many people view the Holy Spirit as God. But He's God. He's part of the Trinity. He's equal. And sometimes I don't believe that's taught in Bible studies or in church. But we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit divine work. He's in cooperation with God the Father. If we read in Genesis 1-2, He was part of creation. He was part of a creation, part of creation. And that the Father was part of creation, as we can see that in Genesis 1:1. And also the Son was also involved in the creation of the world, in your creation. That He knew you before we were even formed. And that's so awesome that even the Holy Spirit knew that. And that the Holy Spirit, it was part of creation. The Holy Spirit was also active in the virgin birth. He was also active in the virgin birth, and in that Jesus Christ was conceived. It was the Holy Spirit that was there. Part of the of God's plan of redemption, that the Holy Spirit was involved. Involved in the plan of redemption that we can come to know Christ now as our Savior. The Holy Spirit had a part of that. And sometimes we don't view that, that the Holy Spirit was there. He was there right from the beginning. What an awesome God that the Holy Spirit is. That the Holy Spirit is. He also, the Holy Spirit is sent to believers by God the Father. The Holy Spirit also comforts us. How many times do we go through days that we are troubled because of work, family relationships, parent-child relationships, husband-wife relationships, marital relationships, employee relationships, employer-employee relationships. Sometimes we're troubled. And we can reach out too to the Holy Spirit to bring comfort into our hearts. And that's why He's here. That the Holy Spirit brings comfort into our lives, and that He will direct us and guide us. And the Holy Spirit is also very, very important in your life, in the believer's life. He's very important. That's why He was sent here. He has a regenerating power in our lives, and He also seals a believer in Jesus Christ, as we read in Romans and also in Ephesians, and He indwells the believer. He indwells you, and sometimes we don't think that way, and that's the Holy Spirit. He indwells in you. And sanctifies a believer and anoints him to discern between truth and error. The Holy Spirit discerns or helps us discern between good and bad and what's right and wrong. In Romans it talks about that the law is written in our hearts, and that the Holy Spirit instructs us in that way. But you know what we have to understand too is that if we want and desire the help of the Holy Spirit, that you and I have to be involved in the Scriptures, in the study of the Scriptures. And sometimes we're not. And sometimes we cannot discern between what is right and wrong, and what God says in a particular situation. And so if we do not involve ourselves in the Word, the Holy Spirit cannot bring remembrance of His Word to your life. And so we have a responsibility as Christians to be in the Word, to study God's Word, and be disciplined. Be disciplined in His Word. So we may understand in what to do in certain situations. Or when someone's teaching, myself for example, can you discern what I'm saying? Is it truth or is it error? The Bereans studied the Word to make sure what Paul was teaching was correct. And we need to do the same. And therefore, we need to be discerned, and the only way and the Holy Spirit can help us be discerned if we know what's in the Word. What is in God's Word in a particular situation? What do I do with my relationship with my employer? He's telling me what to do, but I don't like it. I don't like what I'm doing because what he's telling me to do, I don't like. But is it sin in what you're doing? You may not like what you're doing, but is it sin? What does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say about a wife's role? What does the Bible say about a husband's role in a marriage? What does the Bible say about the instruction of a father to their children? What about spankings? Is that okay? If you see a neighbor spank their kids, is that okay or not okay? What is the attitude of discipline? Do we know these things? And it is the Holy Spirit that will bring this discernment into our lives if we're involved in the Scriptures. And so we have a responsibility. Joshua 1:8-9 says that we need to meditate on His Word day and night. Day and night. Psalm says the same thing, that we meditate on His Word day and night. And in Psalm 119, I want to say verse 9 through 11, it talks about how does a young man stay pure? How does a young man stay pure? By being obedient to God's Word. That's how we know. And so all these passages instructs us as believers to be in God's Word. And the Holy Spirit can take that and teach us. And we can discern what is truth and what is error. And the Holy Spirit will do that. That's God, the Holy Spirit, that will do that. He provides guidance. He teaches us. Believe me, He teaches us. I love it when I'm reading the Scriptures and all of a sudden I'm looking, wow, this is neat. I've never seen that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. It's a neat insight that God gives. It's an awesome wisdom that God gives. And that's the Holy Spirit. This is God who's helping you. He's teaching you. But we need to do something else. We need to be in the Word in order for the Holy Spirit to teach us. The Holy Spirit is divine. He was around when the Word was written. And therefore, the Holy Spirit will help us and teach us when we are in the Word. Yes, we have, God uses godly men and women to teach, but the Holy Spirit also teaches us when we're in His Word, studying alone in devotions and meditating on His Word. Just taking just one simple Scripture and meditating on that passage. And what is God saying to me in this passage? And guess who's going to teach you? That's God. The Holy Spirit. He leads you to all truth. God the Holy Spirit leads you to all truth. He also gives direction for ministry decisions. And He's helping us in time of prayer. How many times do we sometimes hit a roadblock and don't know what direction to go? Because there's three directions or three roads that we can take. But we need the wisdom. We need direction, and it's the Holy Spirit. I believe in the sufficiency of God's Word in all circumstances. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen the Scriptures, and His answers and His principles are there. And it is the Holy Spirit that will reveal those things to us. As we remain disciplined, as we remain close to the Word and studying His Word, it is the Holy Spirit that will do this. As He teaches us and as He leads us to all truth, and He's truth. God the Holy Spirit is truth, and He guides us to that direction. The Holy Spirit encourages us. He gives us hope when we're down. I mean, we can see how Paul spoke in Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians, I believe, where he talked about that he's pressed on the side and he gives all these passages or words that reveal how he's feeling. And sometimes I think that we feel that way too in life. You know, life gets hard sometimes. It hurts so bad. And it seems hopeless. I feel helpless. What am I going to do? But all I know, when things happen in my life, they work together for good. For those who love Him. and that He's conforming me into the image of His Son. I don't like the trials. I don't like when I feel hopeless or helpless or discouraged or when I want to give up. But all I know is this, that when I pray, that the Holy Spirit comforts me. He comforts me. Last week or 2 weeks ago, my wife and I were driving, and I was so discouraged about a certain situation and that I wanted to quit. I told her, I can't take this no more. I don't want to do this no more. And we prayed in their car, and I felt in my heart, what about Paul? Paul went through a lot, and he remained faithful to the end. Paul went through a lot. He suffered a lot. And I don't even come close to that, because I eat every day. Really. I eat every day, and I have a house, and I have an air conditioner, and I have a heater. I'm blessed. But I was so discouraged and feeling sorry for myself that the Holy Spirit reminded me of Paul and what he went through. See, it was the Holy Spirit that brought remembrance to what Paul went through. And Paul went through a lot. And so he gives us hope. His Word gives us hope. Romans 15:4 talks about that the Word was written to give us hope. To give you hope. And it is God, the Holy Spirit, that brings comfort to us in our times of testing, in our times of trials. And you know what? Invite the Holy Spirit too when you're in a time of joy and happiness. And so the Holy Spirit gives hope. The Holy Spirit provides help. God, the Holy Spirit, provides help. James 4:17 talks about that if you know someone who is in need and you don't help, you sin. The Holy Spirit knows when we're in need. And definitely He won't sin, but He's there to help us and to strengthen us and to help us along the way as we proceed in this life, that the Holy Spirit, that we can take comfort, that the Holy Spirit is there to help us. And also, as I mentioned, that the Holy Spirit encourages by giving us hope, yes, but He encourages by comforting us. He brings hope by bringing comfort into our lives. Even when things in our lives are chaotic, when things seem hopeless, He brings comfort. And see, that's God. That's God, the Holy Spirit, who teaches us, encourages us, helps us, gives us comfort. He gives us truth. That's God, the Holy Spirit, that I believe that we need to embrace what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. The Holy Spirit also develops Christ-like characteristics in us. Christ-like characteristics. What are Christ-like characteristics? I can mention compassion. Can you have compassion with someone that's done you harm? Can you be kind to a family member who's done you harm? Can you love? Can you not keep records of wrongs? That's hard to do for us, isn't it? But see, we can do that, though. We can do that. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And when God tells me for me to be compassionate and kind and not keep records of wrong, then I can do that. When I don't, then it's my choice to sin. And when I choose to sin, I grieve who? The Holy Spirit. I grieve God, the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to develop Christ-like characteristics in our lives. It's Christ-like. Christ, who did not trade insult for insult like you guys. We don't trade insult for insult. We don't trade evil for evil. We don't do that. And these are the characteristics that God will or the Holy Spirit will build in us and develop in us. These characteristics that are God-like. Oh, what a wonderful thing that would be. I mean, someone will come up to you and insult you, and you turn around and say something to the effect, "I love you, though." Can you imagine the look? But it is the Holy Spirit that will develop these Christ-like characteristics in your life. He will help you in your worship. He will help you in your worship when you're worshiping. And sometimes when you don't even know how to worship, He will help you. And when you're praying, and sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I'll start praying and I'm prayed, and then I say, "Okay, Lord, I think I'm done. You know, I've run out of things." But the Holy Spirit, again, I say, "Lord, help me. I mean, help me in my prayer life." And just a flood of things come to mind that I need to pray. I need to pray for the President of the United States, especially now. We need to pray for the Congress. We need to pray for them, that God will give them wisdom, because they have a heavy responsibility to protect us too. And so we have the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to help us to worship Him. Help us to worship God. Help us to develop and look more like Jesus Christ. Our goal is to please God in our lives. The Holy Spirit will help us to do that. In conclusion, in our daily life, we must not grieve the Holy Spirit. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit. Because we could easily grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gentle, gentle man. He loves us. He guides us and He comforts us. He's with us daily. He knows our every thought. He wants to be part of our lives, as God does. Prayer. What is prayer? Sometimes I think we need to define prayer, and I make it very, very simple, because for me, the simpler the better. But for me, prayer is communication or speaking with God. And as we pray, prayer is an important part of our lives, and God encourages it very strongly in Scripture. But, you know, He doesn't encourage it that we pray from time to time. But he encourages us to pray without ceasing. And He also encourages that we pray continually, which I take to mean that when I'm driving down the street, that I'm praying. And when I'm walking down the street, that I'm praying. And when I'm at work, I'm praying. It could be anything. For everything, the Scripture talks about that we pray. And God commands us to pray without ceasing. And so God listens. When we pray, God listens. And so I believe that we need to know that. Just praying alone, to me, that's faith. Faith that there is God. And that we know that God is hearing our prayers. And so praying is, I'm communicating to the Father. But let me make it more personal. Prayer is me or us talking to our Father, to Abba Father, a Father that loves us dearly, a Father who is willing to give up His only Son so we can have a communion with Him. And that He allows us to be able to speak with Him and pray to Him and hold Him. When I pray, I want to pray with the reverence of who God is. To be in awe of who God is. Sometimes I think we stand in awe more of celebrities and politicians, more so than we do God Himself. In Psalms, I believe in chapter 34, it talks about if you need to be taught to fear the Lord, ask God to help you to teach or to teach you to fear Him. And that, and in that passage of fear, it's talking about being in awe of who God is. He's the creator of all things. God created the mountains, the sky, the stars, your little pinky. God even created our taste buds. Have you ever thanked God for your taste buds in prayer? I have. I said, Lord, thank you for my taste buds. I love food, and I love to taste the food that God provided for me, that I can stay strong and go on with life. But think about it. Have you ever thanked God for the taste buds? That's wonderful. And so prayer is talking to God and being in awe of who He is. Does God hear our prayers? Yes. God listens. As a parent listens to his child, our Father listens to you. He listens to us as we speak to Him, and He knows our hearts before we even ask. And so the Father is, He takes, I believe, takes delight when His children are praying to Him, speaking with Him. I know when I'm at home, and a lot of times I'm in the computer just typing away, and my son comes over, my 16-year-old, and just stands next to me, and he starts talking. And what I do in response is I put everything away, because I want him to understand that I love him and that I care for him and that I care what he has to say to me. So I put everything away, and I focus on what he's saying. And we communicate, and we talk. And when he comes into that room, I delight that he's talking to me, that he's taking time out of his schedule to come and talk to me. And I do the same when he's in his room, because he lives a busy schedule, and I do too. And so I go to his room, and I go and talk to him, because I want to talk with him. And I believe the Father wants to talk to you also, and fellowship with you. So in prayer, we go to him, and he listens to us. As us parents listen to our children and what they say. And when we pray, as he listens to us, as the Father listens to us, he also listens to what we're not saying. He listens to what we're not praying, because he knows our heart. He knows our heart. He has that focus that he loves us so much that he looks at our heart. And sometimes I think too, when going off on a rabbit trail here, but even with children as parents, we need to focus and listen to what they're not saying, and listen to what they're saying, but not what they're saying also. So God listens to us when we pray to Him, and God already knows before you go to Him, what your need is before you even ask. That's wonderful. He knows our heart. But he delights for us to go to him and fellowship with him and ask him. You know, again, I relate this to my own family. When my children come to ask me for something, I delight in that. I delight in lending a hand or some advice or whatever the occasion calls for. And I believe the Father does the same thing, that he delights in us talking to him, plus that he knows our needs before we even ask. And sometimes we ponder, then why do we have to pray? Well, number one is because he asked us to. But number two, I believe, is to fellowship with him, to talk to him and to get to know him and know him, the Father, embrace him, know His love and know His compassion and know that He answers His prayers or your prayers. And He knows the heart before you even ask. And so we pray to get to know Him better and to understand Him. And we do that through the Word also, but just to talk to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring remembrance too of His Word. And so, the Father delights the prayers of His children. And does God answer our prayers? Sure He does. Sure He does. He answers our prayers and in response to your asking. And sometimes we don't receive or don't have. Because why? Because we don't ask. And I and the Father desires that we ask Him for things. And that we fellowship with Him. He wants to fellowship with us. He loves us so much. And so He's allowed us a tool or an avenue that we can go to Him and speak with Him and speak our heart. Father, I thank You for the children that You've given me in my life. I thank You for the job that You've given me. Father, I'm having trouble at work. I'm having trouble with my anger, Lord. Can You help me with that? Lord, I'm struggling with this sin. Can You help me with this? We're talking to the Father, and we can talk to Him about anything and everything. And that He delights in when we speak with Him. And does He answer? Yes. Yes, He answers our prayers, yes, sometimes, according to His will. And sometimes we're disappointed when we pray, and He says no. But when we pray for God's will. And sometimes I believe when we pray, we're afraid to say, Father, may Your will be done in our lives. Because why? Because we want it our way, don't we? We want it our way. So therefore, we exclude that last portion, Father, may Your will be done. But I believe sometimes that's because we have a lack of trust in the Father. Because He knows what is best for us. When we pray, Father, may You... Even Jesus Christ said, Father, may Your will be done. May Your will be done. And that's an example for us, that we pray, Father, may Your will be done in my life. And so when we pray that His will be done in our lives and not demand through prayer what I want. But we want to pray in His will that He will be glorified in what we do. Lord, give me a raise so I may give more to You, the church. Or give more over here to this Christian organization. Father, I need a promotion, Lord, that I may glorify You, that I may make these changes to glorify You. And so when we pray for God's will. And when He answers, He answers in greater measure than we ask. And sometimes we don't see that. And when we pray, we don't. Sometimes when the prayer comes, or the answer of the prayer comes, we forget to say, thank You, Father. Or we don't see the answer very clearly, but He's answered it. And so when we pray, the Father does give in greater measure than when we ask. And also, when we pray too, I think sometimes we pray in a way that we want. But we have to understand that God the Father doesn't give bad gifts. He doesn't give bad gifts. I mean, a parent today, when a son or a daughter comes to the parent and asks for something, do we give them a bad gift? No. We give them the best we can. Even if it's from a secondhand store, if that's your best, that's your best. Same thing with the Father. He loves us so much that He wants to give His best to us. But we have to understand, too, that the answer to prayer is going to be sometimes no. You're just not ready for that. Maybe later on. But at this time, as you're praying, you're not perhaps not ready for it. But in prayer, how did Jesus pray? He prayed, He made prayer a priority in His life. And the frequency or the frequency of his prayers were many. I mean, he would continually pray, as the scriptures teaches us now. He was always in contact with the Father. We can see in John, I believe it's chapter 14 and 15, that we can see how Jesus communicated with the Father. What a relationship they had. What a relationship that Jesus had with the Father and the Father with his Son. I would love to have that kind of relationship with my own children. Jesus gave the glory to the Father. And the Father gave the glory to the Son. Father, it's you. Son, it's you. And Jesus would always be in constant prayer with his Father, in constant fellowship with his Father. He wouldn't do anything without the Father. And that's an example that we need to take, that as we see Jesus' life in the New Testament, that how the type of relationship he had with the Father, and that it was important, it was a priority in his life that he maintain a contact with the Father. And he was always thinking of the Father. Don't think of the things of this world, but think of the things above. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He always thought of what the Father wanted. And he would pray continually. And therefore he made it a priority. And he made it a time of frequency, a very frequent practice for him in his life, because he is always in contact with the Father. He knows the Father, and he knew the Father. And when he prayed, he knew the Father heard him. And we have to take that when we pray. When we go to the Father, you know that he's hearing you. Once, because he loves you. And also Jesus prayed alone. And he prayed specifically and persistently. He prayed specifically and persistently. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, I love that passage, because in verse 4 he says, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. But then he says, don't be anxious about anything, but through prayer and petition, make your request known to him. Prayer, general prayer. And he says, petition, be specific. Be specific about your prayers. And so the Father, or Paul, when he was writing this passage, he's saying to pray. And don't be anxious about anything. And sometimes we become anxious about life. And Jesus was never anxious. And I believe because he was always in constant fellowship with the Father. And then an example for us to do also, to be in constant fellowship with the Father. Going to him before we make any move. Praying for everything. And as Paul says in Philippians, don't be anxious about anything. Because today I think we become anxious for a lot of things. And we forget prayer. We forget the Father. We forget to go to the Father. And therefore, we become more anxious. And so Paul is saying, stop it. Don't be anxious. But make your request known and pray to the Father. Make your petitions known to the Father. And then he goes on in chapter verse 7, I believe he says, that I will guard your heart and mind with peace. He will guard your hearts and mind with peace. And that's what prayer does. And that's what the fellowship it does. And also later on in that passage in chapter 4, Paul says, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content. And I believe that's because of prayer. Because of constant fellowship. Because his focus was not on himself. As Jesus' focus was not on himself, but Jesus' focus was pleasing the Father. And so no matter what he went through, there was peace. And I believe that can happen in our lives too. That our hearts and minds will be guarded by peace, God's peace. Why? Because we're in prayer, in constant relationship with the Father. And then in verse 8, he talks about think of these things that are pure, trustworthy, praiseworthy. These things think about when we become anxious. And what is pure? God is pure. Who is praiseworthy? God is praiseworthy. We need to think about God and fellowship with Him. Think of what He wants. Think in ways that we can please the Father according to the Scriptures. And so we can pray specifically and persistently as Jesus did. When did Jesus pray? Well, He prayed after ministering all day long. He prayed at night. He prayed when He was suffering. He prayed before making major decisions. He prayed in the midst of a trial. Does it sound familiar? Sounds like our life, doesn't it? Can we pray when we've worked all day long? Can we pray when we witness to someone at work or whatever your job is? Can you pray at night or all night? Do you pray when you're suffering? Nothing wrong with prayer. Can you pray before making major decisions? Or is that the only time you go to prayer, when you're making major decisions? See, God wants to be part of your life. Every part of your life. Every single part of your life. There's nothing so small that God doesn't want to be involved in. He wants to be part of everything that you do. And we can invite Him through prayer. We can invite Him, Father, I'm driving, and talk to the Father while you're driving. Lord, I need a pencil. Lord, where am I going to get a pencil? I need a pencil, Father. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Lord, I need an extra quarter so I can make a phone call, Father. And there's nothing so simple that we can't go to the Father. I think our prayers are limited by our own established limits. But God wants you to pray for Him for everything. And do you pray, and He wants you to pray in the midst of trials? There's a purpose of trials. Truth about your prayer life. We sometimes do not know how to pray as we should. But again, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and teaches us how to pray. We can go to the Lord when we fail. When we fail in our daily lives, when we fall to sin, and Father, forgive me. We can go to the Father at that time also. And also, you receive answers to prayer when you pray according to God's will. And you receive answers to prayer when you ask in faith. You also, when you ask in the name of Christ, you will not receive if you do not ask. You will not receive if you ask with doubt. So God desires us to go to Him with faith and knowing that He can do all things, and that He will answer your prayer, that He will have compassion to your prayer. How are you to pray? Well, pray specifically. Pray specifically. Share your heart with the Father. Because He knows your heart anyway. So pray specifically. Pray with thanksgiving. And be alert and devoted to prayer. And persist in meaningful prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to have a time alone with the Father. Yes, pray without ceasing. Pray everywhere. But I encourage you to have a time alone, as Jesus prayed alone with the Father. Pray alone. I mean, where you can cry and smile and be joyful. Father, I thank you for this or that, and which will bring joy in your heart, because you're sharing or expressing your thankfulness to the Lord, as it says in Philippians 4:6. Pray with thanksgiving in your heart. Pray with thanksgiving in your heart. You should pray diligently and not lose heart. Luke 18:1, it's one of my favorite passages. And it says, do not give up, but pray. Do not give up, but pray. And I think sometimes we get to a point that where we do want to give up. I shared with you a little bit about the time I wanted to give up. But my wife and I prayed. My wife and I prayed, and the Holy Spirit brought some remembrance about Paul's life. And so, let us be devoted to prayer. Pray with thanksgiving in your heart. And persist in meaningful prayer. When are you to pray? Well, you should pray diligently and not lose heart. Pray if you are suffering. Pray if you're suffering. If you're suffering, pray. If you're sick, pray. Having sinned, pray. Facing a trial or temptation or trouble, pray. Pray without ceasing, God says. Pray God's character. How many times do we pray that we become more like Christ? Pray for compassion in your heart. Pray for kindness. How about this one? Pray for humbleness. And when you do, be careful. Because it does hurt sometimes. The Lord humbles you. Aye, Lord, okay, I got it. You know. So pray for humbleness. Philippians 2:5 says to be like Christ. And then it goes on further in the passages how Christ was humble. Pray for humbleness in your life. That's the way Christ was. Christ was humble. And pray that the Lord will humble you. To remove that pride, remove that rebellion, and to learn to accept what God wants in your life. And that takes humbleness. And I encourage you to pray that and see what happens in your life. It's sometimes it's painful, but it's great because you're becoming more like Jesus Christ. And that's what we want. Pray for character. A loving character, a person that will not keep records of wrongs, believes all things, because love never fails. Pray. Pray for His works, pray His loving kindness, pray for His mercy. Pray by thanking God for His goodness. Pray and thank God for His grace. Rejoicing in His grace. Rejoicing in His grace. Because Jesus Christ did a lot. We talk about generosity. The Father is very, very generous. So generous that He gave His Son. So that we may live and have fellowship with Him. Jesus Christ is very, very generous. Because He gave His life for us. So let us pray. Let us pray for His grace. And when you pray, pray for everything. Pray for everything. Pray for everything. Pray for everyone. Pray for your enemies. And see how your attitude will change towards that enemy. It's wonderful how God changes our heart towards that person. He really does. Because then we begin to learn compassion and kindness and the desire to be more like Him. To have a closer walk with Him. To have a walk as Jesus walked with the Father, that we should also have a walk with Him that happens through prayer and obedience to Him. And learning more about God's character. Learning who God is, knowing who God is, and knowing what to do with that knowledge. Paul prayed for everyone. Pray that they will be filled with the knowledge of God. Let us pray for one another for that. People in your own congregation, people who are close to you, people that you fellowship with. Lord, fill him with the knowledge of your will. Lord, draw him closer to you and have a closer fellowship with you. And so there's things that a lot of things that we can pray. And we can look to the scriptures and see how Paul prayed and how Jesus prayed. And Jesus prayed in many positions. He prayed standing up. He prayed kneeling down. David prayed 3 times a day in the prone position. So pray and have fellowship with the Father. Prayer is a very, very powerful tool that God has given us, that we can fellowship with Him. Let us use it. Let us use it to have fellowship with Him and have a closer walk with Him.